This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, everybody. It's Matt Larkin here for a special edition of the Hockey News Podcast. If you're watching or listening, you'll notice I'm not being joined by Ryan Kennedy today. I have two special guests who happen to be brothers. They are both defensemen. They are both new members of the Chicago Blackhawks. It's Seth Jones and Caleb Jones. Guys, it's a pleasure to have you both as my special guests today.
Yeah, thank you for having us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All righty. So we're going to dive in. I got a bunch of questions for you, for both of you, and I'm going to kind of throw different stuff at each of you. So we'll get going. My first question, Caleb, this one's for you. Obviously, you were the first one traded to Chicago this offseason. So what was your reaction when you found out you were getting traded to Chicago?
I was a little surprised. I was kind of chilling. It's actually a funny story. I was playing NBA 2K, and I looked at my phone, and my phone started blowing up because on Twitter, you know, once the TSN guys get a hold of the trade, it goes everywhere. So I got a call about 20 minutes later, and, I was a Blackhawk. So it's kind of weird in the offseason. You know, I know Seth's gotten traded during the season, but it kind of takes a while to register because you kind of still feel like you're going to go back to, you know, whatever old team you had. But, it's kind of fully clicked that I'm a Blackhawk, and I'm really excited to get going in Chicago.
Good. And I know, so obviously, Seth, and we're going to get to this, Seth, like, you know, you were traded. So it's not like you signed with Chicago, but it was a sign and trade type of situation. So you had some say in where you're going to be long term. So I'm wondering for you, Caleb, did you have some influence there? Were you kind of saying, come on, dude, this is the place to go. You should sign. If you get traded here, was there a little bit of like encouragement to join up?
No, I always knew that he loved Chicago, the city, and it's always been a place that he wanted to play. So I knew there was definitely a possibility of it. I kind of was just letting his process play itself out. He had a little bit of control of the situation, but at the end of the day, you know, Columbus could have traded him anywhere they really, you know, pretty much wanted. But, you know, when it was able to happen, obviously it was really exciting and our whole family's excited, and it's going to be a fun experience, and hopefully we can do it for, you know, more than just 1 year.
Excellent. And Seth, for you, before we factor in that Caleb is there, you know, already by the time you got traded there, did you sort of consider Chicago high on your list of places that you thought would be a good fit for you, and why?
I did. Chicago was, it's all, like Caleb said, it's always been a fascinating city for me, an exciting city, and just playing in that building gives you chills, and you have a good feeling every time you're playing the Blackhawks and in the United Center. And so they definitely were high on my list. I had a few other teams that were in the mix as well. But, you know, Chicago at the end of the day was able to get it done and get the trade done with Columbus. And like Caleb said, I'm happy. You know, I wanted to give Columbus that option, you know, this offseason, and tell them, be upfront with them, my intentions with them. And, because they have been great to me over the past 6 years. So I wanted to do that for them. And I'm happy I'm a Blackhawk now. I'm very excited for the season to start.
All right. And I know, obviously, you're not the first group of brothers to be in the NHL, but it's not always the case that every set of brothers in the NHL is close. But from what I understand, you guys are. So, Seth, was that pretty influential in your decision to sign the long-term deal, just knowing that Caleb is there as well?
It's definitely something that's exciting, a little bit about it. Being in Chicago, I was wanting to sign a long-term deal there, you know, before Caleb even got traded there, but with him being there was definitely a huge plus. And, you know, I think he's been up and down the minors, and I've been in the league for 8 years now, but, we haven't got the chance to play even against each other. So it's funny that we're going to play with each other before we even played against each other. Cause I was hurt a couple times or he wasn't playing something happened the stars just didn't align for that. So it's interesting that we get to play together now.
That's crazy. I didn't realize that you hadn't even gotten to play against each other before. So Caleb, I want to get both your reaction to this, but Caleb, we'll start with you. When you found out that Seth was going to be your teammate, what was the first thing you said to him or texted to him, or what was your initial reaction, if you can remember?
We were together going to dinner, a little family dinner in Dallas when it kind of all started going down, and it just, you know, one thing led to another, and, you know, it was done. It kind of was just like a 10-minute sequence, and bang, you know, he was a Blackhawk, and it kind of got the extension done. It was a cool night, obviously. It didn't really register till the next day when we got to go to Chicago and do some of that stuff, and you kind of realize that you're playing with your brother. you know, like I said, I'm really excited for it. And it was cool. You know, the moment when it happened, it just, it kind of didn't, it was surreal. You know, it happened so quick.
And Seth, what about you? What was your reaction? Anything else to add there?
Yeah, like Caleb said, it was, you know, we were at dinner with my mom and looking at the phone, and I'm getting, you know, I end up getting a bunch of calls and texts, and, you know, Twitter seems to be the news source these days. So when you see it on Twitter, it's, you know, it's pretty much real. And it was very exciting. You know, I had, like I said, had to leave the table a few times because people were calling and team services, and then they, you know, they kind of dropped the bomb on us that they wanted us to come to Chicago in the middle of dinner. So we had to kind of rush through dinner, get home, pack some stuff, and we flew out the next morning at 9. So, and that was a great experience as well. Get to throw the first pitch at the Cubs game, kind of walk downtown at the team store, tour the facilities a little bit. So it was a very exciting day.
Very cool. And Caleb, this one's for you. So I know, Seth, you touched on the fact that you guys hadn't actually gotten to face each other, but just for anyone who doesn't know, obviously you have the age difference, but what's the extent of the playing together that you've gotten to do in your life so far? Like, has there ever been an overlap, or have you never really gotten to play at an organized level together?
We've never been able to play together or against each other at any level. I think one time I maybe was 15 when he went to Portland, and we might have played an inter-squad training camp game together, I think. One game, like a training camp game in the WHL for Portland. I played against him, but outside of that, no. So that's the first time.
All right. I thought I just lost you for a second there, Caleb, but you just froze for a second. That's okay. It happens all the time. It's the COVID world on our podcast. Exactly. Ryan Kennedy is known for freezing. Like, people are in our YouTube comments all the time saying, why is Ryan Kennedy always frozen? So it feels like home if somebody freezes on the podcast.
Get some updated Wi-Fi in there.
Yeah, exactly. So this one's for you, Seth. So obviously, because you guys play, if I'm not mistaken, you know, Seth, you're a righty and Caleb, you're a lefty, right? I have that right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So are you going to try and get in Mr. Carlton's ear about maybe having the two of you get a look as a pair, or is it too soon for that?
We'll let the coach make that call at the end of the day, but I'm sure they're thinking about it. I'm sure, you know, they're thinking how cool that would be. And so are we, you know, for us to play together. I'm sure they think we have some decent chemistry. Just, you know, we skate together and train together every off season. So we have that going for each other. And, you know, Caleb's got great skill, and I think we can both, you know, help each other's games out. So I'm sure they're going to be mixed matching pairs a lot in training camp, trying to figure out what works. And I wouldn't put it past them that they would try us together.
All right. And another one for you, Seth. Just could you just reflect on what it was like this past year in Columbus? Because, you know, a year ago, I remember I was picking you guys in Columbus as a Stanley Cup sleeper because you had that great season in the bubble, and I think you looked pretty dangerous. And the year before, you know, you took out Tampa with the sweep, and then they go and win two cups in a row. So there was momentum there, and all of a sudden it gets derailed in what was a pretty tough season. So just what are your thoughts, and is it hard to say goodbye, or did you feel like it was just time for a change?
No, it was extremely hard to say goodbye. You know, I got traded there in 2016, ending my rookie deal. And I feel like I grew up there a little bit, and, you know, with some of the guys that were there as well, I developed great friendships. You know, even, you know, along the lines with Torts, developed a great relationship with Torts over those 5.5-6 years, and with the assistant coaches and the trainers and all the staff, and definitely felt like home. But at the end of the day, you know, with our season going the way it did, you know, I kind of felt like there needed to be a change for me and my game and myself. And, you know, there's only one opportunity to kind of do this free agent thing in your career. And, you know, this was kind of my time to do it. And, you know, sometimes I wish it would have worked out in Columbus, of course. But like I said, it was just time to move on for me. And I tried to give, you know, like I said, Columbus that option to trade me away. And, you know, because I do care about everyone there in that organization and wanted to get something back. And, you know, hopefully they can have success in the future.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Caleb, obviously, you know, coming from Edmonton, you have the experience in a major hockey market. And it's no disrespect to Nashville and Columbus, where Seth's been, but just in terms of, you know, the market that has 50 people after the game in the dressing room in non-COVID times, of course, like the, you know, the crazy scrums and the attention. And obviously, that probably translates closer to what you're going to get in Chicago too, which is a pretty big market. So do you have any advice that you're going to be giving to Seth in terms of just dealing with that bigger media presence now playing in Chicago?
I wouldn't say I have any advice. You know, if you have a bad night, you might not want to look at your phone, especially in Edmonton. Especially in Edmonton, but
get rid of Twitter.
Besides that, I wouldn't have any advice. You know, he handle the media and all that stuff, but that'd be my one thing of advice. Put the phone away if you have a tough night.
That's good advice. It applies to hockey writers too. I get chirped hard as well, so I understand it like on a small scale for sure. Yeah.
Hey, we all take heat for our jobs.
Yeah, it's part of the business. Yeah. Like I get people, strangers adding me on Facebook being like, you picked the Habs to finish last, like I wish you were dead. Like so it happens, yeah. It happens for writers too, so I feel you. So this one's for you, Seth. Just about the off season, and you know, I know I've heard a lot about it, but I don't really know the full story about your involvement with Uncle Bud's Hemp and CBD. So could you just explain kind of your role being involved with them? And also I know that you have a use for it that kind of relates to the game. So could you explain it a little bit for just the average listener that might not know how it works?
Yeah. So, I first got introduced to Uncle Bud's last summer when I was training, my trainer, Troy Haugen here in Dallas, had a connection with, you know, some of the people who founded Uncle Bud's Hemp and CBD and use it on me a few times, would rub it on my leg before training, after training. And I really noticed a difference. So I wanted to get in touch with them and I ended up becoming, you know, an ambassador for Uncle Bud's. And now it's a daily routine for me in my workout training and my on ice training. So, you know, I use it all the time. There's no THC in it. So, you know, it's not going to make you high or any of that stuff. It's made right here in America. So I love, you know, like I said, it's, you know, I wake up, you know, Uncle Bud's, you know, hemp is in my bag. It's in my hockey bag. I travel with it during the season. So it's definitely become a major, major part of my, like I said, my routine.
Very cool. Caleb, I'm wondering if you could sort of just elaborate on what the off season plan is for you guys together, because I know that you've done a lot of training stuff together in the past. So is that kind of the plan and is it different, you know, when, because you're going to be teammates, does that mean, are you guys going to live together when the season starts or have you thought about that type of plan or is it too soon or what's the story right now?
It's been thought about it. I would say, you know, we'd be finishing the off season the same way, you know, whether if we were playing together or not. You know, we've trained together for a long time now, probably 5 or 6 years since I got older. But I would say that stuff, we've talked about it for sure. I think we'll probably go up to Chicago in a few weeks to kind of get that all settled just so we can kind of get everything settled down before camp and get in there and kind of get comfortable with everything. So it's been talked about a little bit and we'll probably head up there in a few weeks.
Okay. If you look at the Chicago Blue Line, obviously two legends of this, you know, the previous generation that won the three cups, Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook are both not there anymore. So Seth, you come in now and I'm wondering now, in your mind, do you feel like it's going to be up to you to be sort of the elder statesman now and kind of the leader of that group? And is that kind of the role you're looking to take on?
Yeah. I mean, within my means, I think that, you know, they've had some good D there right now. You know, Connor Murphy, we signed Jake McCabe, obviously Caleb. And we have some good players that, and we have some older guys as well that have been there. And, you know, I'm going to go in and just play my game, be who I am on the ice, in the locker room. Obviously I want to step in and be a number one, you know, on this team right away and play in all situations. And, you know, but at the end of the day, I trust the coaching staff makes the right calls and, you know, puts me in situations to be successful and make the team successful. So, obviously I want to be, you know, have a great season and great rest of my career personally, but, you know, not at the team's, downfall. So, like I said, it's about the team first and trust the coaches to make that call.
Okay. This is one kind of for both of you. So I want to give both of you a chance to answer these next couple. So Caleb, we'll start with you, but what do you think is a realistic goal for Chicago this season? Obviously the team's been outside the playoff picture the season before they pulled the upset in the bubble, but they weren't in a playoff spot if it had been, you know, regular style standings. So do you have a thought in mind of what you think is realistic for this team now that they're moving back into the Central Division? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think obviously you see that they've been real busy this offseason making some big additions and upgrading the team. So I would definitely think making the playoffs for sure to a good starting point. I just know going there and touring and talking to people, they expect winning. You know, they've obviously had a lot of success as a franchise, and I think they're trying to get back into the winning mode and get back to the playoffs. So I would say that should be the expectation.
Okay. And Seth, what do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Definitely playoffs. I think we definitely have the roster to do it, especially like with Caleb said, the additions with Fleury and Johnson and, re-signing Hagel. So I think we have a good team and, and also feeding off what Caleb said with, you know, their whole motto is just not giving you an excuse. So they're going to do a lot of the things necessary. If you ask for something, they're going to do it for you because there's no excuses when it comes to being on the ice and giving your all and winning. So we definitely want to get back to the winning ways, and playoffs is definitely that starting point.
Okay. And this one's for both of you guys as well. So again, we'll start with Caleb. But, you know, being part of the Black NHL community, both of you, now you have a chance to be in a major market and as brothers on the same team. I'm wondering, is that like from a role model perspective, a pretty unique opportunity because it's so rare to be together at the same time on the same team? And have you thought about that in the context of what you guys can do as role models playing together? So Caleb, you go first.
I think, we haven't had too much time to process, that, but I definitely think going into a market like Chicago, you can do a lot for the community. Getting kids involved in certain areas and, maybe lower income areas that get them hockey gear, maybe donate some stuff, go out, help the kids. I think there's a lot of things we can do, and just being brothers, it'll help, that marketability for it.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. There's obviously a lot of light shined on the African-American hockey player these days because there are so few of them. And, I think that with me and Kay being on the same team, we can definitely be very marketable in that asset or in that aspect of the game. Obviously, we have to perform on the ice and that will help at all. But like Kay said, I know the Blackhawks are first class and getting out in the community, making things happen. And, whether it's, bringing the kids to fifth third, to the practice rink to skate with us or, going to play street hockey. So there are many things that they do, and I'm sure they're going to have us do certain things as well for the community. That'll be great.
Awesome. Next up, and kind of this is what we do on our regular podcast when it's me and Ryan, we have a game we play called Rapid Fire, where it's sort of like quick lightning round style questions. So I have a few for you guys, but they're all going to be kind of about each other. So we're going to do that now. And because Seth, as the older guy, you get to go first. So I'm going to fire off these questions, and every question Seth answers and then Caleb answers. So we're going to do the rapid fire game. It begins now. First question, Seth, name something that Caleb can beat you at. It can be hockey or not hockey.
That he can beat me at? I'll probably say NHL, the video game, NHL 21. That's the one game he can usually beat me at. On the ice, I would also say probably a breakaway challenge. He's better than me at just straight breakaway, him and the goalie. So,
I think I have a few more.
Yeah, there's no more. What's that, Caleb? There's no more. There's more, yeah.
I think of a few more.
There's no more.
And what about you, Caleb? What's the reverse? What can Seth beat you at? Okay.
Basketball, he's got a couple inches on me in height, so I'd say basketball, it's tough. When I get a win, it's a big deal. They're tight games, but usually he comes out on top. He's pretty a Call of Duty player. I'll give him that, too. He beats me at that. I'd probably go basketball. It's tough for me to get wins in basketball, like one-on-one.
Okay.
Football?
What do you say?
Oh, here, I'll back up. You guys chirp. If you're going to chirp.
No, it's over. It's over.
Seth, what is Caleb's greatest hockey skill? What do you think he does best?
I would say his escapability with the puck, his vision. He just has very nifty hands, I would say, nifty skill. Like I said, like with the breakaway, like around the net when he's making those little moves, he's very good at that.
Caleb?
I'm sorry, you froze. I didn't hear the question.
Oh, yeah. What the question was, what is Seth's best hockey skill? What does he do best on the ice?
I would say for his size, his skating ability, all four directions, laterally, forward, backwards. He's really powerful. You know, when he gets a step on you, he's gone. You can't get the puck because he's so big. I would say his skating ability.
All right. Seth, what does Caleb do that annoys you the most?
Ooh. Well, we've been living together this past couple summers. He's definitely a little more messy than I am. Mm-hmm. The dishes in the sink, that one really grinds my gears sometimes. Yeah, I would probably say dishes in the sink.
Yeah. All right, Caleb, you get a chance to fire back now.
I was going to say when he complains about all that stuff, it gets really annoying. Honestly, that's where I was headed with it before I even answered his question. So that's what I'm sticking with.
Okay. For the laundry.
All right. So, okay, Seth, I want you to rate Caleb's fashion and style on a scale of 1 to 10.
I'll be generous. It's gotten better over the years, I will say. I mean, he's definitely like a 7 or, I mean, he's a 7 or an 8. I mean, he's definitely a jeans and t-shirt guy, you know, maybe a hat, but that's, you know, that's what you're going to get.
Okay. I give him a 9. I'd give Seth a 9. He can put a good outfit together. He's jeans, t-shirt, but he can put the accessories together with it pretty good. So I would give him, he's definitely above me a little bit there.
All right. And the last one. Okay, so NHL 22 is not out yet, so we don't know the ratings. But for NHL 21, Seth, I want you to guess what Caleb's rating is. I want to see if you know what Caleb is.
I'm going to say got to think like an EA guy here. I'm going to say like a 76 or 77.
And the answer is, yeah, funny. I was wondering, like, is Seth going to try and overestimate because then he looks good? But he came in under. The answer is 80. Caleb is an 80.
Oh, wow.
Overall. So Seth comes in with a lower prediction.
Sorry, bro.
Jesus.
Well, sometimes when they do, like, the younger guys, you know what I mean? They put them really low, lower than they should be, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
I was trying to think like an EA guy there.
It's harder to make trades, too, when you have the younger guys because often they have the lower ratings.
Exactly, but, yeah.
So, okay, and Caleb, what do you predict is Seth's rating in the game?
I'm not going to lie. I've played a little bit. I think it's an 87.
Ding, ding, ding. Nailed it.
Right this on. This guy plays NHL way too much.
No, I don't.
That's because he's trading me away all the time. That's all I know is my rating.
Oh, that's awesome. Jesus. Well, that's the end of the rapid fire game, and that kind of sums it up. What I wanted to ask you guys about today. I really appreciate both of you coming on, and it was fun. Thanks, guys.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Matt.
It was great.
And thanks for listening and watching, everybody. We'll be back later this week with the regular style podcast with just regular old me and Ryan Kennedy. But I hope you enjoyed this special episode.
Thank you for listening to the Hockey News Podcast. Make sure to check out thn.com/subscribe to get issues of the Hockey News Magazine delivered right to your mailbox.